Councillor DeBoer, would you please say the prayer?
O God Almighty, who gives us strength to the weak, conscious that I am doing nothing without your help, pray for your guidance, gracious assistance in all of my duties. I come to you, O Lord, the power of love, trusting completely that you will supply what is wanting from me. My God, you may grace be sufficient to me and always with me, that I may do everything faithfully and well, through Jesus Christ, amen.
A summary of addendum items. There is a bylaw, comprehensive zoning bylaw as amended, which has been added. There isn't anything else, so we shall move on. There's no council workshop, no introduction of staff. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Okay, we're going to move on to our delegations. The first delegation is an opportunity will be given to those who wish to address the land tax apportionment. And that's for council, that's RB2. Is there anyone in the audience for that? No? Okay, I have a motion moved by Councillor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Foley, that report CS 2014-067 regarding land tax apportionments be received, and that the unpaid taxes for the lands covered by the assessment roll numbers listed on Schedule A to report CS 2014-067 be apportioned according to their relative value for each year as indicated in Schedule A to report CS 2014-067. Are there any questions? All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, we'll move on to our next delegation. It's an opportunity will be given to those who wish to address the tax collector's roll adjustments. Is there anyone who would like to address the tax collector's roll? Seeing no one, Council, if you would go to RB4. Moved by Councillor Beffert, seconded by Councillor Thompson, that report CS 2014-073 regarding tax collectors' role adjustments made under sections 354, 357, and 358 of the Municipal Act 2001 be received, and that the Treasurer be authorized to make such tax adjustments under sections 357 and 358 of the Municipal Act 2001 as necessary in order to adjust the 2014 tax collector's role as outlined in CS 2014-073, Appendix A, and that the Treasurer be authorized to remove unpaid balances from the role that have been deemed to be uncollectible in accordance with Section 354 of the Municipal Act 2001 as outlined in CS, 2014-073, Appendix C. Are there any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Okay, we'll move on to our next delegation. And actually, this is a recognition. And It's recognition of a young lady, Tess Rutliff, with the Dorado Stars in the 2014 Parapan Pacific Championship Games were held in Pasadena, California this past August. Canada was well represented, and the 32 team members had a staging camp in BC prior to heading to California for the high caliber competition that saw many incredible athletes competing at one of the highest of levels of para swimming. This competition also created early opportunities for athletes to potentially be selected for the upcoming Pan Am Games. The Dorado Stars' very own Tess Rutliff represented her country, her hometown of Caledon, and her club with an extraordinary meet. She swam herself to six personal best time swims, qualifying for finals in all of her events. The final day saw Tess in her best event, the 100 breaststroke. Her morning swim placed her second against one of the most decorated Paralympic athletes swimming for the United States, Jessica Long. Tess had a personal best time in her prelims with a 1 minute 43.42 seconds, dropping 5.09 seconds from her previous best time. And I can tell you, as a competitive swimmer a million years ago now, it seems, that's huge. That is huge because you're training and training to the point where you go and you really are at a max for your times, and then to get to the competition and then really outdo yourself by 5 seconds, that's huge. Anyway, at night, Tess continued to bring her A game and attitude to race to another personal best with a 1 minute 41.28 seconds, placing second, winning the silver medal for Canada. The silver medal swim was also a new Canadian record, an incredible accomplishment. Tess continues to push herself to new levels of not only what she can do in the water, but in how she prepares and handles the high-level competitions mentally and physically. This is a true testament to the power of desire, commitment, passion, work ethic, and attitude. It was very exciting to witness her growth this season as an athlete, teammate, and individual. And I had an opportunity of going to the Mayfield pool and talking with Tess and some of the other swimmers earlier this year after she won a competition, which was prestigious. But this is even more prestigious. So we believe that this is only the beginning for the girl who continues to dream big. And at the town of Caledon, we are incredibly proud, supportive, and honored to be a part of her swimming journey. The Canadian team finished with 9 gold, 25 silver, and 28 bronze. That is just absolutely phenomenal. Tess? Where is she? I can't. Okay, there she is. We would just like to congratulate you very much, Tess. We were talking about giving you a present, and then I thought, well, gee, I already gave you the present when I met you the last time, but I just want to say congratulations, and we're really proud of you, and we're so pleased you come from Caledon, and you're putting us on the map, and you're putting Canada on the map. So thank you very much. Okay. Okay. We now will have Inspector Melanson come forward, please, and do his 2014 second quarter report. Thank you. Thank you.
No, I'm good, thanks. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
It's good to be back to Caledon from the sunny BC coast. So anyways, this is the new format that I proposed a little while ago, so it takes care of the stats, and I imagine everyone had a chance to look at it. And again, I think instead of just reading it out, if you'd like to ask any direct questions in regards to the quarterly report, I'd be more than happy to answer them or any other concerns that you have.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I kind of like the format, because instead of going through the numbers, we can cover some of the ground every quarter that we need to do. So I was at a meeting here last week or 2 weeks ago, and policing came up as part of the discussion. And I probably know the answer, but I just wanted to talk to you about it. But the number of officers, the questions came around number of officers and do we really need that many police was the question posed to me. And I know how I answered it. And I just wonder, because our stats, like, we're going down, we're safest community, all this stuff. From the top cop in Caledon, what's your answer?
Actually, it's a good question. And of course, we do need the officers. We have become one of the safest communities, of course, because of the town of Caledon, you know, allowing us to get the enhancements, especially whether it be a community response team, street crime, traffic. So that's a key component. You know, if we go back to years ago when we didn't have the personnel, you know, crime was up. It gives us the opportunity to be more proactive within the community. We have 112 officers at the detachment, 98 uniformed. Constables, 12 sergeants, the staff sergeant, myself. So it is key to keep the community safe, and it allows me to engage the community. And so, you know, with our high school officers, community response team, one of the projects that we're going to be starting in about 2 weeks will be we're going to have our first festive ride team that will actually start about the 15th of October, run right through till mid-January. If we didn't have those personnel, we wouldn't be able to take from the platoons and had to have a dedicated ride team of 10 officers. So that's important to keep the community safe. And, they can always say we have too many, but I'd rather have a few extra than a few less, for sure, to, work with the community.
Yeah, and I also did make the comment that I think some of the issue, too, is the number of your officers that end up being in court, too.
We have a lot of court. You know, you have your POA court, which... at least two to three times a week you're in court. And if you have a criminal court matter, you can be on the stand all day. You can be in, court for a week or two at a time. As you know, we've had a lot of different unique investigations, homicides, where, we've got preliminary inquiries coming up, two here and the next. So we're going to have multiple officers in court for months at a time. So you're taking those people away from the actual working officers.
Good. I was hoping that your answer was similar to mine, because I was paying enough attention over the years with your presentations and your predecessors. One of the other things that's going to be important, the region is looking at King Road and closing it to do the connection for the bar. That's going to make a big issue with regards to traffic through Harvest Moon. And we've got a school, and it's a fairly congested area anyways. Can you look at... more police presence in that area, especially trying, it's roughly about a week, they said, if they can do the construction schedule and meet it, roughly about a week, that's going to make that whole area fairly difficult. And, the only other option is Harvest Moon, which is never intended to carry a lot of the through traffic, and then the frustration of people being lost all of a sudden, they're not following signs, and being stuck in it, that doesn't help. It doesn't put them in the right frame of mind to drive through a very dense residential subdivision. So I'm just wondering, do we have the ability for that week to put more officers in, to direct traffic, to kind of keep on top of things?
Yep, that's an easy solution, not only with the traffic team or the community response team. I've actually just added another officer to the traffic team starting October the 5th. And we can, take people off platoon, direct them for directed patrol in that area, helping out with the traffic management. That's an easy fix. You know, we just got to know ahead of time, which is good, know the dates, know the time, peak time, so we, put more resources there at the time. So if you want, we can get together, and I just get all the details, and we'll put a traffic management plan together so that we're ahead of the ball, and no different than Mayfield last, while ago. So we've got to be aware of it and know that it's coming and just deal with it right then and be prepared for it.
And I just wonder whether the mayor's office could contact, or through the regional chair's office, to get the contact of the project supervisor, Jim Livingston, I guess, is kind of the one that's in charge of it at the region. I think that's the right name. Armstrong. Jim Armstrong. So
I'll reach out to him myself. That's not a problem. And I can get the details and we can move forward.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Good. Councillor Beffert.
Well, thank you very much for the report. I'd like to indicate that about a week ago Monday, Staff Sergeant Garant spoke at the Alton Village Association annual general meeting, and he did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
And basically what he did was to respond to a similar question, and that is, what are you actually doing out there? And he talked to folks in a very calm way, but he let them know in terms of statistics what was happening. And it was very important for the people to hear that. One of the suggestions that I have coming out of that is that Mike spent a lot of time, as he has previously, on the fact that you're much more data-driven than maybe we've been used to in the past. And I know that's important to you, and I know it's important to Mike. And he was asking people to please call. If we don't know, we can't help. The one thing that came out of that, especially on Facebook afterwards, was, what was that number again? What numbers do we call? And if there's anything you can do to provide some material, either to those of us who have newsletters constantly, or fridge magnets or whatever, what I took out of it, that people were happy at what was happening, but they really needed to have those numbers at their fingertips if they were going to do what Mike asked, and that was to help. So if you can take that back and think about that, it would be really helpful.
That's a good suggestion. The easy solution is, you know, we do a lot of community events, and Brenda Evans does a great job with the media. Now we're getting more people engaged through Facebook, through taking their emails and sending out blasts out on the email system. So we have the little stickers that we do when we do community events that we can give out the 1-888 number and get that more out there, especially at community events and through the Facebook, through the email system seems to be the way to do it. You know, I'm not a technical person with all this Twitter and stuff like this, but I know Brenda's pretty good at it, so we can use those avenues to get the message out and the contact numbers, because we do need the calls. So that's the key, is, you know, a lot of times we weren't getting the calls for service on, you know, traffic complaints, and we need to know. And we, like Mike says, and you've mentioned, we analyze the data, we put the resources to our direct at patrol. We've just in the office now, I've got the computer running with a big screen, so we show the direct at patrol areas, we show the areas of concern for traffic, so everyone's aware of them now, so it's a better venue.
Well, I just want to, if you pass on to Mike what a good job he did, and when you get into the community, when you offer the chair of the AVA a chance to ride along and see what actually happens, it makes a difference. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Inspector, for your presentation. I know the closure that Councillor DeBoer talked about, it's in his ward, but it's on Bolton's footstep or doorstep. So. I had down a date as October 13th is a potential date of the closure, just so you're aware. Some things I noted that I had seen in previous reports but don't see here, I know you speak to them, are things like bike patrol hours, how they've increased foot patrol. And I want to thank you, because it was at Midnight Madness in Bolton, I did notice bike patrol out, and it was great to see them. And Road Watch is another one, statistics on that. Is that something that you hope to capture in your quarterly reports?
Yeah, actually, we have it loaded now on our DARA system, which is our reporting system for the bike patrol, and it will be put on as well on the quarterly reports. I was working with Sergeant Sanderson, who's in charge with the bike patrol, and going over the hours from not only from the community response team, our auxiliaries, who we've trained as well now. So I actually have a count of the hours for the summer. We were in excess of 300 hours of bike patrol within the community, so it will be added to our next quarterly report so that you can see the bike patrol and see what's happening.
Yeah, and I just think those are really good stats for council to see. It shows that and I'm sure we don't have to tell you anything, but the things that we hear from our residents and we relay them to you, you're incorporating into your work plan. So it's really good to see that. And again, I wanted to thank you for seeing things that we've been asking for, like the bike patrol, actually on the ground. It was great to see.
No, it is a great program. We're trying to do stuff like that. And I know I've worked with you on some of the other traffic issues, especially where it's nice to get out to the community and meet the complainants as opposed to just over a phone call. I know Staff Sergeant Garant as well has met with a different community as well. So that's key for us in dealing with the community and the public, is going out and meeting people and talking to them and reassuring them that we do have their interests at heart.
All right. Thank you, Inspector.
Councillor Foley.
The left,
thank you,
right
Madam
here.
Mayor.
Left, right,
yeah,
left.
Right. It's good exercise.
So I had a similar question for you with respect to graffiti. The graffiti committee did a considerable amount of work to develop a strategy and implement the toll-free number. And this was one way, the quarterly reports, that we were going to track the success of that strategy and that number. Are those numbers going to start coming back out on here?
So yes, we'll be adding that as another column as well.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, no. Thank you. And the other issue I wanted to talk about was enforcement in the downtown core. We have had, as I'm sure you know, a number of complaints over the summer about motorcycle noise and about speed, especially on a Saturday, Friday night, even Sunday night. Like most people in Bolton, I've been to Happy Days more than once over the summer, and if you sit there and have an ice cream, you do see the speed at which the traffic is moving through the core. You may probably already aware there was a bad accident today near the Four Corners.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the report. I don't know if his speed was a factor, but from the people I've talked to, business owners, they definitely feel that speed was a factor. And, you know, a vehicular accident that involves a gravel truck, for example, on Highway 10 is a horrible thing. When it happens in the downtown core, when you're right beside the sidewalk where there are pedestrians and moms with strollers, and you've got such a huge capacity there for impact or injury for human life, I really think that while we wait for the bar to be complete, which should alleviate the truck traffic north and south on Queen. And as you know, we took a motion to the region to ask them to consider removing heavy truck traffic off King Street East and West, which they have promised to do, to look at the big picture and consider doing that once the bar is complete. This is still a matter of months away, and I'm just wondering, in the meanwhile, what can we do? And I know it's difficult. You have limited places to sit and observe and pull people over, but is there anything we can do in the meanwhile in that congested little area to try to make sure people are adhering to speed limits?
It is a tough one because when you're running radars, you know, with multiple mm-hmm. vehicles, we still have our LIDAR system that we can implement. You know, I can talk to and assign the traffic team. I know the accident today as well. It was the, and I'll tell you, it was the commercial motor vehicle mm-hmm. at fault. Mm-hmm. Speed, I'm not sure. It was actually a blue or red light.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's pretty significant, you know, with the amount of not only vehicular traffic mm-hmm. down there or pedestrians and everything. It's just huge. So, you know, thank goodness no one was you know, killed mm-hmm. or hurt seriously. Mm-hmm. But I will address that. I will talk to our traffic team and get some more. We have our commercial motor vehicle, you know, we have six officers trained for the commercial motor vehicles, and they do the LIDAR enforcement, traffic enforcement as well, so we can assign them until this gets resolved, but we can show more presence there. And again, it, you know, we can do the presence and that's good, but again, it's coming to educating the public, educating the drivers mm-hmm. and that, and we will do our best to do some enforcement and some education as well. I know we had Brenda, you know, attending the transportation services and, mm-hmm. and truck places and that. But a lot of that traffic, as you know, it's not our local
traffic. No, of course, no.
And that's the hardest thing is you're dealing with companies that, you know, they can be running to the site on Airport Road or something or whatever.
Of course, yeah.
So, but we will, I will that put a plan. I have to put a plan in place and address it.
Really be appreciated, yeah. Thank you very much.
And just the key thing is knowing, again, the, you know, prime times of enforcement. Is it, you know, between 8 and 9 in the morning? Is it all day? Is it mm-hmm. you know, between the lunch hour? But you know, that road's so busy, as you know, that intersection's so busy, it's,
we are so lucky there weren't people on the sidewalk, because if you see the truck up against the building, had someone been in between, they would have been crushed.
It would have been a fatality.
I still feel sick just thinking about it. So anything you can do in the meanwhile is, and you know, to mitigate that situation down there is really, really appreciated. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councillor McClure.
Yes, thanks for your presentation. I've heard nothing but good reports about the police. You hardly ever see a police car my side of 10 Highway, but I like it that way.
I can change that, I can guarantee.
No, because once in a while I don't wear a seatbelt, so don't come. But only once in a while. But in Valleywood and Southfield, they like the idea of seeing the bike patrols, but instead of giving tickets on 10 Highway, maybe you should come downtown right beside the fire hall in Valleywood. Several people complained about, I was at a party there one time and the cars were whizzing by. I don't know how fast they were going, but There should have been tickets given out. And and Kenny Road, right in Southfields, too. Pick your spots and change your spots for giving tickets.
And we do. We have one of our officers, Terry Gerard, who's been doing that neighborhood. And as well, we've got the new officer starting, like I mentioned earlier, on October the 5th, who will be doing these directed patrols as well. We've got not only our 10 hot spots, but in the last little while, we've identified a lot more hot spots than 10.
Right down on Royal Valley. Sometimes they zip around that circle. Use your imagination. You do a good job, though. Thanks.
It's good, actually, to do traffic enforcement on bike patrol. Works great.
Yes. people talk about that. They remember it.
Councillor Thompson.
Thank you very much. And just to echo what Councillor Foley was saying, I've just noticed lately, especially in the Bolton, speaking to some of the residents and even some that live right in the downtown core, even as much as this morning, they say the trucks, that do commercial hauling to Alliston and different things, you know, bypass and they run around. But after from midnight through early morning hours, they're running right through Bolton, you know, shaking the windows in the buildings. And I was just wondering, and I know our road patrol for trucks is during the daytime. Is there any way we can set up a couple of blitzes, you know, in the evening to kind of put the fear of God into some of these guys to slow them down?
You know, we have our traffic team that, you know, especially our commercial motor vehicle operators that run, you know, through the daylight hours for sure. But that's an easy fix because we have other traffic specialists now on the platoons as well that do afternoon and the night shift, of course. So that's an easy fix that we could set up a commercial motor vehicle blitz. And I know the guys in the CMV team would gladly switch a shift or two to have the opportunity to engage some of the trucks.
I think that they just need a wake-up call, and it'd be great. Also, I want to say Brenda Evans does a terrific job. Fantastic. And I want to pass that on. Also, they always say after Bolton Fair, the saying goes, especially of the rural guys, is after Bolton Fair is when the deer get stupid because it's mating season and deer stand out in the road, especially the bucks. And we know we have a lot of deer collisions, and this is going forward. And I'm just wondering if we can get a blitz out because it's people's safety. People get hurt badly. And I'm just wondering if that's something we can do before, we're just at the verge of Bolton Fairs this weekend, so.
Yeah, I'll get Brenda to put out something. I know I live out in the country as well, and it is the time of the season for sure. So I know Brenda would have put out something for our community.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. I just want Councillor McClure to know that, yes, the OPP are west of Highway 10. Coming back. Well, I didn't get a ticket. Coming back from council last Tuesday after that I had meetings starting at 8 in the morning and I'm driving home at 20 to 7 in the evening, and it was quite a council meeting. And right there on Old Baseline in McLaughlin is a ride set up. The officer said, have you had a drink? I said, no, but I should go home and have one. Anyway, so they are over. Yeah.
And Councillor McCurr, what's that address again of yours? I'll look it up, and I guarantee your ride will be in front of your doorstep.
Inspector, could you please tell me what the difference between domestic criminal and domestic non-criminal?
A lot of time with our criminal or domestic calls, sometimes you get that ones where people are charged for a criminal offense, whether it be assault, threats, or that other ones are verbal arguments, for example, so there's no charges laid.
Okay.
So, but we have to respond to all domestics. We have a very good domestic policy. So if it's criminal or non-criminal, we attend and we do the investigation.
And can you tell me what it says there were 4 sudden deaths? What's a sudden death?
A sudden death investigation, it can be a variety of natural causes. It could be the other ones that we'd rather not talk about. But
Okay. Thank you. They were only... Okay. I don't have any other people who have questions or counselors, so thank you very much.
That's easy, and I had one other item on the... But I actually, if no one's going to ask me about it, that's good.
Okay, what is it? What have we missed?
Oh, that's all right. We'll talk about it another day.
No, now you really piqued my interest.
No, thank you very much for your time. No, it's all good. My dad called me a shyster once in a while, so no. It was just in regards to the Minnesota new billing model. So I was just going to give like about
I think that would be a good idea. Yes, please.
Basically, okay, that's good then. No, we're just waiting still for all the numbers to be presented to us. So we're basically, it's been a long process. I know it's been tough on the municipality and I've been dealing a lot with these two people here, of course, that have been great, and they've had patience with us, the organization. So we're just still waiting for our final numbers, and we've had several meetings and another meeting coming up shortly. As soon as I hear anything, you'll be kept in the loop, and it's just a waiting game.
Okay. Peggy and I actually went to a session at AMO. Yeah. We were invited by the OPP to a session, and we went, and I think Peggy had an opportunity of actually going up and asking some questions because there seemed to be uncertainty in a portion of it. Calls for service and that, it could be all over the map. So you could be up here 1 year and down here another and up.
Exactly.
So, but I think she got her answer and felt comfortable with the answer she got. So, but yes, we look forward to hearing more. Maybe at the next council meeting, if you know more about it, there's a council meeting in October, I can't remember the date. 17th? Okay, so the 17th of October, maybe we'll know more and we could. What's this?
Seventh.
Oh, the 7th. I was going to say the 17th seems like an awful far away. Okay, 7th of October. Yes. I didn't memorize it because, you know, it's the last one for me.
I thought I had, but Barb corrected.
Oh, Barb corrected you. Oh, good. Barb, I should have looked at you in the first place. Anyway, if we have something by then, maybe then you could come and with our staff present to council exactly what the model is and how it's going to affect us.
Yeah. And I can tell you your chief financial officer and treasurer are great. They're well respected by our contract policing. They ask them some excellent questions that have got them thinking. So this is why it's actually taking longer, because of
them. Well, that's good.
That's not true. I just thought I'd throw that in.
Well, we know they're really bright.
Oh, no,
so.
They've had some great questions on the billing, and our Inspector Burt McDonald, who's been appreciates the input.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to move on with our next delegation.
What?
Shirley Boxing, Headwaters Communities in Action. Okay, so you have 10 minutes? Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Madam Mayor, members of council and town of council staff. I'm here today actually joining Shirley because I've been doing some work as part of the regional food and farm work that's going on through Headwaters Community Action and the Headwaters Food and Farm Alliance. But I just sort of wanted to start about my impression of Headwaters Communities in Action, because I think that there's a lot of different groups involved. And I know Headwaters Communities in Action focuses on well-being, and it's something that we don't maybe often think about as front of mind. It comes later when we have an incident or something impacts our life. And Robert Kennedy said in 1968, rather famously, that the gross national product measures everything but what's important in life. And I think what Headwaters Communities in Action is doing here is they're trying to bring that focus back onto well-being and the other things in life that are important. So I'm going to pass it over to Shirley to go through some of the activities that Headwaters Communities in Action has been going through over the past year, so for our annual delegation.
Thank you, Karen. I'm very blessed to have my own publicist here with me. Thank you. So I am here, first of all, thank you very much, members of council, for this opportunity to come and speak to you today. It's always very much appreciated. It's been a number of months since I've been here to talk to you, and happy to say this year, 2014, HCIA is 10 years old. Hard to believe we've been around for that long. Our original mission is the same as our mission is today. We're a catalyst for positive community change. We engage diverse citizens of Headwaters region to work collaboratively for community well-being, as Karen was talking to. And the foundation of our work, hopefully everybody here is familiar with the community well-being report. It's probably been a little while since you've seen that. It's still the foundation of our work. Work for that report began in 2008. It has statistical data as well as input from more than 400 citizens, so it's a very comprehensive piece of work. Speaks to issues that are important to community well-being, as Karen was saying. 9 topic areas are identified, including arts, culture, heritage, rural roots, health, social services, etc. And it helped to raise public awareness of all of these issues. Our primary funders for HCRA currently, and we've had a variety of funding models over the years, right now our primary funders are Trillium and United Way, but we also get input from community partners, and Town of Caledon is a valued community partner, and some of that input is not just in the form of grants and funds, but in-kind donations, and we benefit from that very much. Town of Caledon donates to HCIA by giving us the services of Sandra Dolson, who gives us an economic development lens on some of our work. As well, we also benefit from the work of Ben Robertson, who brings a policy lens to the food work as well. So those are very, very valuable inputs, not just the financial ones, but also those other ones. What have we been in the past and what are we? We're a backbone organization for Headwaters. Backbone means, same as in a human being, the spine is that from which everything grows. It supports all the activities. The backbone allows us to share strengths, guide vision and strategy, support aligned activities, and really does provide that support system. Allows us also to collect feedback from community partners. To that end, on October 9th, we're launching a refresh of our community well-being report, feedback and data. We're going to go over current portfolios, projects, as they mature and move on. We're convening conversations to perhaps develop new ones and look for emerging issues. Our annual meeting, I know annual meetings typically aren't very sexy. We're going to make this one really, really exciting. We're going to have annual, first of all, an annual recap of things that we've been working on, looking forward as well. We're going to be kicking off our community well-being refresh. So inviting new conversations to look at those new issues and serving local food at the same time. Hopefully that's going to entice more people to come and share their opinions and insights. Going forward, we will be handing off maturing portfolios and identifying new ones. Healthy people, healthy economy, sustainable environment, engaged citizens, and vibrant culture are all those things that feed into a healthy community. We have to support all that, our website and communications. Our contact database is 1,500 and growing, 14-plus newsletters, bulletins, e-blasts, and invites annually. Our contacts have contacts, so potentially we have a very big network. We support an NFP portfolio, not-for-profit. Our ongoing engagement and successes, we've been a conduit between the nonprofit community, the Ontario Nonprofit Network. Our key messages get out to the regions and to those organizations. We host forums, learning sessions to support a strong sector. A dedicated social services hub is needed in Headwaters. Rural transportation continues to be a challenge in the region. The Dufferin Transportation Working Group has gathered and produced a comprehensive listing of what options are available in the county. And those transportation options do go over municipal boundaries, so they encompass Caledon as well. Rural Transportation Project and Forum. We teamed up with the Rural Ontario Institute. We gained financial support from community partners to ensure a place as one of the 3 study regions in a project which looked at rural transportation across the region. The next steps from all of the output is to convene and identify the political backing required to further transportation options and effectiveness in the region. For that, we're going to need political will as well. Our Trails Committee, what we've accomplished, Trails infographic was printed, continues to be distributed. I think this council received that some months ago from us. Trails audit's been completed and posted. Profiles of CanBike instructors and our first annual Kids Safe Cycling Festival was held in Orangeville on August 10th, and we hope to expand that program next year. The Headwaters food system has been a key priority raised in the original community well-being report. Our first Headwaters Food Summit in 2012 spawned HFFA. You can see our spiffy new logo. We've had a second food summit in 2013, the outputs of which, of course, are on our site. Our vision, a food system in the Headwaters region that's productive, sustainable, transparent, and fair, supports the health and well-being of our residents and food providers and contributes to a prosperous and equitable economy. And actually, we have a handout from that summit, and we're going to give that to you as soon as we're finished talking. HFFA activities, we've got an education and literacy and access subgroup. We're engaging in two projects, Farm to School, modeled on Everdale Farm Instructional Kit. We have farmers teaching kids about where their food comes from. Farmers teaching kids about growing food. It's a win-win. Our food club will gather locally sourced food, distribute via schools in a membership program. More local and fresh food to our kids, so it's more win-win. And yes, of course, we do have an ask of council. We ask, as always, for staff and council's participation. We look for participation in our Trails Committee to engage in conversations on trail linkages and the DCAD implementation, again, which transcends municipal boundaries. Join us on October 9th, if at all possible. AGM small, community conversations and local food big. Consider joining HCIA Leadership Committee and join up with HFFA, which addresses those food concerns in the region. We're going to do some handouts now, but I would again like to thank Council very much. And for some of you, best wishes in the election, and for some of you, all the best going forward with whatever endeavors you're undertaking. Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much. Excuse me, Councillor DeBoer.
Okay, thanks very much. Thank you.
Thanks. I guess I'm part of the food system in Caledon anyways, but the question I had was, and it'd have to be fairly quick because there's probably a lot of information, is rural transportation, and you said that there were suggestions and options, and now you're looking for political backing, and I'm just wondering what direction, what solutions your group found.
So the solutions that we had were simply identifying and putting together in a comprehensive listing all the options that we do have available, and those options do primarily address are challenged members of the community, so seniors and people with medical challenges. Going forward, looking at possible employment solutions to the transportation challenges that we have in Dufferin means maximizing the gas tax opportunities, which has not been done in Dufferin County. I think that's been done more effectively in Caledon, but it hasn't been done in Dufferin. So it's utilizing gas tax dollars and getting political backing, because when you're talking about gas tax dollars, my understanding is that needs to be funneled through the municipality. So now, as opposed to a private citizens group, we've got to get municipal members on board to make that go forward. So we've got a plan in place. We've got some suggestions coming out of the report from the Rural Ontario Institute. We've got, I think, three possible paths that can be followed. So we need to explore those a little bit more in depth, but get the right players at the table, and that's our next move.
So you're referring to the gas tax that we use for the CCS busing, I guess, is what the reference is. And can that not be applied to... I guess Orangeville is the only place that has transit in Dufferin, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And that report's available, by the way. The Rural Transportation Output Report is available via the HCIA site as well. Also gives you access to case studies that have been done on transportation throughout southern Ontario. So for anybody that's looking at transportation issues and options, there's a lot of information available out there.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we will move on to our next delegation, Shelley White, United Way of Peel Region. Welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you too.
Actually, I think I'm.
Good afternoon, Madam Mayor. It's lovely to see you too, and members of council and staff and residents and guests. It's a pleasure for Raj Tendengra and I to be here from the United Way. And Doug Barnes and I were having a conversation a little earlier, and he said, is it that time of year again? Mm-hmm. And it is. It's September, and September marks the time of year when kids go back to school. And when there's fall fairs and harvest, and when there is the United Way campaign. And the United Way, this is our 47th year in Peel Region. In 2017, we'll be 50 years old. And yeah. I was reminded of that when I saw your beautiful banners marking your 40 years. And you know, it was really interesting to listen to the recognition that was given to Tess and to hear the inspector's report from the OPP and to hear the Headwaters Communities in Action presentation, and then thinking about this United Way presentation. And actually, there is a common thread amongst all of these presentations. If I think about Tess, you know, what we all want is we want every single child and youth in our community to reach their potential. In terms of the inspector's report, we want to build communities that are safe and where people are safe and where they're protected and where they can flourish. And as we listen to the Headwaters presentation and talk about, you know, access to sustainable food and healthy nutrition and also healthy environments where people can contribute to people's health and well-being. And at the United Way, as you know, we have three priorities. One is from poverty to possibility and ensuring that people who are living in poverty have the supports they need, such as food security, access to food security, access to emergency and transitional housing, and then also that we're advocating for public policy change to ensure that people have the opportunity to move from poverty into self-sufficiency. Secondly, we focus on helping kids be all that they can be by investing in the early years, by investing in school-age kids, by investing in high school kids, and particularly that 16 to 24-year-old age group, in mental health supports, because we know that that is such a gap in our community. And also investing in parenting. Kids don't raise themselves. And we know that Caledon Parent Child Center is an excellent example of the kinds of supports that parents benefit from in this particular community. And our third area is strong communities, building strong communities by preventing domestic violence and violence in general, and by supporting individuals who have mental illness. And we know that one in five people at some point in their life will experience some form of mental illness. And to eliminate the stigma associated with mental illness, because we know that's the number one reason why people don't get help, because they're embarrassed. And so as a result of your ongoing support for the United Way, your campaign, your generosity, the United Way has been able to invest in those areas. And we know that those are the priorities because of what you've told us in terms of what's important in Caledon, what we've heard from the residents as well. And we have published in June our first impact report. And it's available in a PDF. We can also provide you with hard copies based on data that we actually receive from the agencies in each one of those three pillars, the number of people that have really benefited directly from your generosity and compassion. So I'm not going to read through all these slides. You have the presentation. You've heard me talk about the United Way before. And there, we want to start off by saying thank you. Thank you for being partners in making our community a great place to live for everyone. And I know that with our community growing, with it becoming more diversified, there are more people who are in need. And we want to ensure that the United Way in partnership is here to support those growing needs. And here are some highlights from the impact report. A couple just to highlight. I am so pleased that over 2,700 youth in our community who are at risk or who had disabilities participated in programs and volunteered leadership positions, et cetera, that ensured that they were more engaged with their families and in school. That's significant. That is huge. This is preventing future problems. So this is significant. Over almost 43,000 people participated in mental health education programs to reduce the stigma associated with mental illness. Absolutely imperative. And one more, that over 11,000 people participated in food security programs. Food security programs like The Exchange, right here in Caledon. So extremely important. I've mentioned what we're doing in terms of poverty to possibility and all that kids can be, and in terms of strong communities. And we know that Caledon has a unique environment, and we talk about this all the time, the fact that you have both a suburban and a rural component, and that we have to ensure that people have access to programs and services in the rural context as well as in the suburban context. And so this is extremely important to us in terms of us moving the work that we do now, but also moving forward and continuing to advocate to ensure that Caledon has the programs and services that its residents need. In Caledon specifically, we invested in the Caledon Community Services and in Peace Ranch. Peace Ranch is an extraordinary program. Caledon Parent Child Center, $52,000. Caledon and Brampton Community Living, Meals on Wheels in the Congregate Dining Program and in volunteer visiting and in victim services. We also invested $80,000 in The Exchange in neighborhood development. So we've selected three neighborhoods, one in Mississauga, one in Brampton, one in Caledon. The neighborhood that was selected in Caledon based on the applications that we received was The Exchange. And we, like I said, we've invested $80,000 over the next 2 years to build programs and services that are the residents are asking for to ensure that people's needs are being met. And so over $248,000 directly invested in Caledon, $4 million invested in programs that Caledon residents can access, 44 programs for Caledon residents in 24 locations, and last year over 9,700 individuals from Caledon accessed those programs. So together we are making a huge difference thanks to your generosity and compassion, and we really want to thank you for your tremendous support. I hope that was a helpful overview in terms of how your contributions to the United Way, your commitment, are making a real difference in this community.
Well, thank you. I know I've talked to you before about some of the programs that are offered and how do Caledon residents access it. So I'm really happy to hear that more and more are accessing it, and also that you know, it's very successful. We've got quite a few people who actually are taking part. So that's a good thing.
Thank you very much, Mayor
Morrison. Thank you for that, because it was something that was very important to me. Councillor Beffert?
Yes, thank you for the presentation. You touched on many things, but one of the focuses that you seemed to have was working with youth at risk. And I'm going to ask you a question. Caledon Youth Services was formed to work with youth at risk, and it's sort of disbanded. It's not there anymore. And I'm just wondering if you have recognized any change because of that, as you've gone through, is there something else that we should be doing as a municipality to help you with that group? Because that group, as they grow over, is our group.
Yes. Yeah. So I cannot answer that question specifically, Mr. Bedford, but I will follow up with my community investment team, with Anita Stalinga, and also with the organizations in Caledon that we are working with that support youth, and come back to you with a response.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor Foley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you very much, Shelley, for coming to Green. Great report, really good numbers. I just have one question. There were some stats there on money going to BCCL and The Exchange. Are you able to speak just off the top of your head about whether any of that money will be focused towards adult youth who have disabilities. You've heard me talk to this before. I have always felt it's a gap. It's something that keeps falling through the cracks, and we know there's a need there. There's a local group very active in trying to figure out how to improve this situation for their adult youth with those situations going on. So I'm wondering if any of that will filter down to improve that.
Yeah, thank you very much for that comment, yeah. Councillor Foley. And we know that it is a huge gap. Mm-hmm. Our research that we did 3 years ago in terms of the needs mm-hmm. in Caledon highlighted the need for more services for persons with disabilities of right. all ages, from infants right through to seniors.
Right.
My understanding is that based on the proposal that we received, that the money that we did provide to the exchange for community neighborhood development, some of it is being earmarked to support youth with disabilities. We'll follow up specifically with okay. Michelle to okay. find out where that's at and what the next steps are. And in my response to Councillor Bedford, I'll mm-hmm. also provide the response to that as well.
That's very good. Thank you very much.
But I know that it was identified as a high priority, and it was one of the reasons why we selected that particular project
right.
to fund, because we knew that it was such a high priority.
Thank you.
Councillor Patterak.
Mayor Morrison, welcome, and we're up for re-election, so we don't know whether we'll be here next year when you're here, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to say that I don't think we say enough about your role as the leader and the enthusiasm that you bring to the table, to your team, and to the community, and I just wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Thank you.
And I just wanted you to know something that this council has been very committed to, that will help to house people and with home ownership, and that is council's been committed to having a partnership with Habitat for Humanity, and that new greenfield developments have to have a minimum of an acre dedicated for Habitat for Humanity. And I know that Thomas Fisher is over the moon about it, and he actually brought the executive directors from Halton, York, and Durham, and one from Toronto to our Countryside Mayors Alliance on Friday to see how they could get involved, to see how they could pick this up also. And I know that Councillor Pelleschi is right on board in Brampton and is helping make it happen now in Brampton. So I think that that's a really good thing. You talk about the success of families and children, and to have children live in a community in equal to everyone else is, in my opinion, extremely important. And I think it gives that child the oomph that they might need so that they will succeed in the future.
Yeah. Madam Mayor, I want to congratulate you and Council for making that kind of investment in housing. I agree. You know, a person's stability starts with a home and right. having a home. Having a house where you can that you can call home, where you can feel safe and secure, and is so fundamental to being able to proceed with all everything else that you need in life, job, education, and establishing relationships in the community. And we know there's been research done that individuals who have relationships with their neighbors and who know their neighbors are healthier and better off. So that is absolutely tremendous.
And I think part of it too is over renting is the pride of ownership.
Yes.
And knowing that this is yours, and that you're in the family and the children, knowing they belong and this is theirs. And I think that we're going to see that it's really going to make a difference in Caledon. And I applaud council for being committed to that.
Great policy.
So, and we took it to the Region Appeal last Thursday, too.
Very good.
So, and
excellent.
It got passed. So
tremendous.
It was really good. So all municipalities will be getting engaged. So it's a really good
wonderful.
Thing. Well, thank you very much. I mean, we're always telling you how wonderful you are when you come to the Region Appeal. And yes, I guess we haven't said too much here at this table, but you are wonderful. You've been a real pleasure, I can tell you, working with you over these, 11 years that I've been mayor. But you have just taken the United Way so far, and you've given it such credibility that you really are to be commended. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, we do it together. Together we're creating possibility, and that's a really lovely segue from what Councillor Paderak said and what you've said. And I'd like to also echo all of your comments. It's been a real pleasure to work with such a dedicated group of elected officials and community leaders who are so committed to ensuring that you have a community where people can thrive. And in particular, Mayor Morrison, I want to thank you for your tremendous leadership and for your commitment and compassion to creating a community that people love living here and can work here and love playing here as well. And we're very, very fortunate to have leaders like you in our community. So on behalf of the United Way of Peel Region, Raj and I would like to present you with the United Way's Community Builder Award. We wanted to present this to you in February at our Community Achievement Celebration, but I believe you were recuperating from some surgery or might have been away, but you were away. That doesn't matter. You. Nevertheless, we wanted this opportunity, and you know what? Actually, I think it's better that we have this opportunity to present it to you here in front of all of your peers and colleagues and your own community, because they know firsthand the benefits of your leadership. So on behalf of the United Way, thank you very, very much.
It's to you.
Yeah,
oh,
gee.
As a community builder.
Thank you for the short time I've known you. It's been a pleasure.
Congratulations and thank you. And here's the box.
President of the Credit Valley Heritage Society. Welcome.
Wow, now I want to volunteer for United Way. Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me here, Madam Mayor and members of Council. My name is Susan Robertson, and I'm the president of the Credit Valley Heritage Society, and I'm here to talk to you guys about a concept, an idea, a vision for the credit. So before I get into it, I thought I'd just introduce the Credit Valley Heritage Society and let you know a little bit about our mandate and who we are. So we've been around since 2008, but have been a little bit more active in the past 3 or 4 years. So I guess it's 6 years in total that we've been incorporated as a not-for-profit organization. And we have four main focuses really within our vision. The first one is to be a voice for the protection of the natural and cultural heritage of the river, the Credit River, to champion for the preservation and restoration of cultural heritage assets, to value natural and cultural environments and to understand their interactions, so to sort of have respect for how essentially connected cultural and natural heritage are together, and to connect residents and others together to build a community of care for the Credit River watershed. I feel a bit like a traitor right now because I used to work for the Humber and we're in the Humber at the moment. Let's ignore that. So our vision for the credit, the Credit River watershed bonds its communities together. Its health defines our health, its history, our history. A healthy, robust, and sustainably managed watershed that respects nature's sacred balance and preserves landmarks of generations past is within reach for our future, and together we can achieve it. So I want to take you back to provide a little preamble to our idea, which is to create a heritage tourism trail. And I'm going to do that by giving a little bit of a condensed version of the histories of rivers in Canada. So this is going to be short, but you know, when settlements started to take place in Canada, rivers were the highways and byways that helped settlers access the interior. And we can look to the rivers with great credit, no pun intended on that word, but we can look to the rivers with great appreciation and respect, because they really were the means under which we are here today as a country, as Canada. It was the Aboriginal leaders that took us into the interior following the great rivers that really define our nation. We're very lucky in Ontario. We're really almost an international anomaly with the amount of fresh water we have here. But enormous rivers span our nation. And I think really you can say that Canada's history is defined by its waterways. But our relationship of reverence and respect and access changed significantly over, you know, a very short time period, a couple generations, and all of a sudden we were washing our cars in the waterway and dynamiting the salmon because there were just too many, they were impeding the access of our boats. So the perspective on waterways really changed. And let me just get that off. And I just have a collage here of images. And, you know, as we started to sort of develop a disrespect for, the role that they provide in sustaining our communities, we started to try to imagine ways that we could improve them. And, with the advent of Hurricane Hazel and the idea of, engineering the way they work, because we know better than Mother Nature, and we can find a different way of making the water work. So, a lot of traditional stormwater management practices, hardening channels, things like that really defined engineering, over the past 50 years. And I think that in the last 15 to 20 years, we've really seen a change where we're starting to realize that we need to let the river do what it needs to. And there's softer approaches that are being developed, really in large part because of the development and legitimization of the environmental movement and professions. So I think there's a turn back to where we started, and we're sort of recognizing how important they are to our quality of lives. So the credit. It's the largest river from Halton to Durham regions. It has an abundance of regionally and even federally rare natural and cultural resources. It's a widely loved river, and it has a host of recreational opportunities. It's connected to the Niagara Escarpment, and it has part of the Bruce Trail. But in spite of all of these, fabulous facts, there's still no continuous interregional trail network that you can take from Port Credit to Orangeville. And there's still no single place where the natural and cultural resources of the watershed are documented. So if you want to find about the Badlands, you have to go to one website. If you want to find out about Forks of the Credit, you have to go to another. And in some ways, you kind of need to be in the know to explore the watershed. It's sort of through hearsay, it's through word of mouth, and information's kind of all over the place. So this is the idea. We hope to change that. So in that, I want to focus on the benefit of bringing the forefront of the credit or bringing the information of the credit to the forefront. And under that guise, I'm talking about tourism. This is really a presentation on sustainable tourism. And tourism cannot be denied its significance economically. This is a slide from the UN. And it just gives you some quick stats here on how important tourism is to the world's economy. It's big business, and it matters. Locally, the province of Ontario recognized that by producing a report in 2009 specifically for Ontario tourism. And, they talk about how it's the fourth sector of the Canadian economy. And under all of that, they say essentially that waterways for Ontario are our primary tourism asset. And there's a quote here directly from Minister Silvera that says, "Water is at the very heart of Ontario's tourism industry. from Niagara Falls to the Muskoka Lakes to the Rideau Canal waterway to the shores of Lake Superior. Essentially, it is the cornerstone of that document, and it provides recommendations for bringing waterways into our tourism models. So heritage tourism is really the category of tourism that waterways fall under, and it's the fastest rising sector of the tourism industry worldwide. And to define heritage tourism, it's a bit difficult. There's a whole bunch of different ways people define it. But really, it's traveling to experience the places and activities that authentically represent the stories of people of the past and present. And it includes historic, cultural, and natural resources. So there's five principles to it. We need to work together. We need to find something that really works, find a fit. We need to make sites and programs come alive. And, sorry, do you want?
You only have 2.5
minutes. Okay, I'm almost done. And we need to focus on quality and authenticity and then preserve and protect. So essentially, this is making the connection. Through the provincial strategy of Discovering Ontario, we hope to create an inventory of all the natural and cultural resources in the credit. And in doing that, we want to work together with a variety of government agencies. Through that, we're going to develop a master plan and create a tourism tool that will promote the credit. And it's essentially, it's bringing watershed tourism and conservation together. So this is a conceptual alignment of an interregional trail. It's sort of hard to see, but the trail is conceptually indicated thematic or a color basis on municipality. And some of it's there and some of it's not. But we ultimately hope to create, right now we're convening a steering committee. We're going to be meeting at the Alton Mill on November 27th with a variety of partners. And we hope that Caledon and staff will be available to help us work over 2015 to develop a feasibility study that will identify the way forward. From there, we're going to be creating a master plan based on that feasibility study that will outline the trail alignment. And then lastly, we hope to make an interactive tourism tool, which will be like an iPod app that will show people the credit. And so you won't have to go, you know, from one location to another online to learn about the watershed. It will almost serve as like a trip planner. And it will show people, if you want to ride your bike from the Cheltenham Badlands to the Forks of the Credit, here's how you can do it. And this is how long it will take you. And this is what the best parts of those locations you can find out. So it's bringing the credit to the forefront. And here are just some examples, conceptual only, of what some of the icons could look like online that people would be able to double click on, and it would pop up information relevant to that site. Here's some cultural icons as well. And so stay tuned. I have no request of council at this time except just support in principle, and we look forward to working together with you in the future.
You know, back in 1994, I went on to the Credit Valley Conservation Board of Directors and on their executive committee. And we did a master plan in following years, and that was one of our dreams, that we would have a trail that would go from the lake all the way up through Mississauga, Halton Hills, Caledon,
yeah,
to Orangeville. And so I'm really glad that there is a group that is actually taking that and has the same dream and is going to make it happen.
Great, thank you.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Susan, for your delegation. I know that you brought this to the Heritage Committee. Was the Heritage?
Yes, it was, yeah.
And I think it's a good thing. Like, there's no question tourism generates revenue. There's no question for me anyways that when you welcome people into a natural, a heritage space, and then further you encapsulate the value of that, you make them aware of the importance of it from a preservation perspective, that type of thing, to respect it and to protect it, as you've identified in your presentation. And your presentation clearly talks about, and you mentioned it a number of times, protecting, preserving, and I think that's key.
Mm-hmm.
We had a presentation last council session, I think it was, talking about the tourism strategy. And one thing that came out of that is, I don't think anybody argues the importance of tourism and how it can generate revenue and welcome people into beautiful places to enjoy. But two things that came out were to be aware of the impact of environmentally on whatever feature it might be, so whether it's the Badlands or a trail, is it going to erode and create issues from an environmental perspective? Mm-hmm. And seeing, again, the language in here repeatedly about preserving and protecting, I think reinforces a commitment on your part to make sure that that doesn't happen. Right. The other thing was impact with respect to, say, traffic. You know, where, if we're going to invite people, where are we going to put them? How are they going to get there? Right. And then, embark on the trail from there. So that was the one thing I was going to encourage you to consider is, okay, so we're going to welcome people into this trail along the credit. Where are they going to come to? Do we have accommodations to provide to them, a parking lot or whatever it might be, receptacles for garbage and things like that, recycling. So I'm sure it's already in your mind to provide for that, but I just wanted to reflect that as well.
Yeah, thank you. That's always, the concern when you're working under this sustainable tourism framework, right? How do you promote something and at the same time, how do you protect it? Because you want people to get there in order to learn and respect and develop an ethic of care for this particular feature, but you don't want to compromise its ecological integrity in the same breath, right? So, really what we hope we can do is through the master planning process, working together with all the municipalities in the watershed, we'll be able to identify how we can sustainably manage those resources in partnership with the Credit Valley Conservation. Where should parking lots be? Where should they not be? And where should signage be? Where should we encourage people to go? Where will there be accessible trails? Where will there only be hiking trails? Just based on the constraints of the environment. And I want to thank Council and applaud you for your leadership on the tourism strategy. We were really excited as an organization to see ourselves mentioned and to see us as a partner in helping to bring this forward. And just further to Madam Mayor's comment, this has been a vision for a long time. We know that the Credit Valley footpath has been talked about for 30 or 40 years, but what we really see is the difference in our idea is that we have a driver for trail development going forward. We want to make an online tool that can show people. We know the trail may take my lifetime or longer because it's so privately owned, a lot of the credit. But we see this as a stepping stone to get us there, to explore how beautiful this river is, how clean and green so much of it is, and how many amazing assets are there in terms of cultural heritage. It's really unique. So we hope that together we can create something that will benefit all the local villages and communities, and will work for everybody in the river as well.
Yeah, and the last thing, Madam Mayor, if I may, is we talked about, because you will be welcoming people into villages and hamlets along the credit, is just to explore what will the impacts be to those communities and make sure that, their quality of life, the things that they value, aren't compromised while we embark upon this venture, which, again, I think is a positive.
Right.
We just got to make sure we strike that balance.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Councillor Paderak.
Thank you very much. I hope your organization is enjoying good cooperation from the authority itself, because from my end of the credit, from Dominion Road at the Forks all the way to Orangeville, we have a very short gap, and we could establish a trail right for that, for the top end, tomorrow if we could close that. It's a little maybe 2 kilometer gap. That's south of the Orangeville bypass. That's the only gap, except for a very small property just below Charleston. Everything else along that whole corridor is in public ownership. So I would animate you to remind them that we should be pressing those last few owners, and if we can't get through to them, then we might have to make an accommodation on the roadside and just open the trail with that short stretch, which many other trails have done, including the Trans-Canada and the Bruce Trail. They have their trail. but they do divert to a roadside environment for short stretches rather than not implementing the trail at all.
Right, exactly.
So I look forward to working with you on that.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Councillor Beffert.
Thank you for the report. Keep up the good passion. Just one question. I hope you're working with Michelle at the Hills of Headwaters Tourism because they've got a lot of skills to offer in terms of the areas that you've talked about.
Thank you, Councillor Beffert. I am certainly. I delegated to her about a month ago.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Councillor McClure.
Yes. I just let you talking about Credit River Trails. Well, up until 2 years ago, every year, there were about six canoes. We dock at Cheltenham, and it's a 6.5 or 7 hour ride to Port Credit. And there's a place there we have some beer. The night before, we put our trucks down there to get the canoes. But that was our, and we'd have to go as soon as the ice was out because the Credit River is shallow in some places.
Yeah.
But so we put warm clothes in a 5 gallon pail, and we.
Cool.
And that was our excitement, but we didn't do it the last 2 years. But I'm going to go at it again because that was an exciting ride, and that's what we used to do. Thanks.
Great, that's great. Yeah, it's such a beautiful river.
And it is.
Yeah.
And some places of the river, and I'm sure Councillor McClure knows this, if he's canoed it, is that you wouldn't even know you're anywhere in the Greater Toronto Area. You would think you're way up north someplace.
Yeah.
It's absolutely spectacular. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
And sharing with us your passion. And I hope it does happen. I really do.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, folks. We're going to move on to council communications announcements. The only one I'd like to make is that, if you recall, tomorrow is Andrew York Day. And there is going to be a little recognition tomorrow at Caledon East Public School. That's where he went to school, and they're bringing all the kids into an assembly, and it's going to be exciting for everyone, and I think he will more than likely really inspire some other young people, so it'll be a lot of fun. No urgent business notices of motion printed with the agenda. I have a motion moved by Councillor Beffert, seconded by Councillor McClure, whereas the Ministry of Transportation of Ontario, MTO, has created and is in control of a 400 series designated highway through the town of Caledon from Highway 410 to Highway 9, and whereas there are numerous issues related to the MTO highway that affect the residents of Caledon, particularly Wards 1 and 2, and whereas there have been numerous instances of the inability to capture the attention of the officials of MTO to discuss these issues for the betterment of the residents of Caledon, and therefore be it resolved that Council of the Town of Caledon vigorously request the MTO to immediately create a working group to address issues related to this highway, and further that MTO working group include members of the Public Works Department of the Town of Caledon, the Region Appeal, Town of Caledon councillors of Wards 1 and 2, and resident representation, and further that the working group meet regularly and as required to address serious issues as they arise related to the stretch of highway. All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, we'll go on to the next. The next one has been moved by Councillor Beffert, seconded by Councillor Patterack. Whereas the developer of the Thomas Farm subdivision currently being developed in Alton originally purchased the property with a complete and approved subdivision agreement, and whereas the developer has insisted the town of Caledon by voluntarily agreeing to suggested changes to the betterment of the town of Caledon, and whereas the region appeal requested delays in the starting of the project to determine the feasibility of wastewater servicing in Alton, thereby stalling the completion of the project, and whereas an environmental assessment of the lands being subdivided was not part of the original agreement, and whereas there is no legal requirement to request an environmental assessment on vacant land, farmland, and therefore be it resolved that the town of Caledon honor the original agreement as signed and waive the requirement for an environmental assessment.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to withdraw that motion.
Okay. Does he need a seconder? No. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, are there any notices of motion to be presented at this council meeting? Seeing none, council inquiries. Councillor Beffert, Councillor DeBoer.
Yeah, I just wonder, there was some emails going around with regards to development charges, and I think this is for Mary. And it seems to be with around agricultural uses, the secondary uses, and we just went through the exercise with Kyle on secondary uses on agricultural lands. I think that was the title of it. With the DCs, I think the comments from the region is that they look at normal farm practices as being whether it justifies being an agricultural practice and exempt from development charges. Is there a process, would it be locally driven or provincially driven, to have the processing of raw agricultural products, so that be that milk into cheese with goat milk or cow milk, grains into a flour, meat into a product that can be sold and actually cooked as opposed to on a hoof, those kind of examples. Is there a way to have those designated, especially if it's your own product, not product brought in from somewhere else, to be designated as a normal farm practice, that you have the ability under normal conditions to make your product into something that's a little bit closer to the consumer, is the way that we want to, is the way that we talk about it in the industry.
Through Madam Mayor to Councillor DeBoer, I think Mr. Wong would be better to answer the question in regards to development charges. We could define agricultural related uses, I believe is what we're talking about when you're chatting with it in the policies. It would be what the DC bylaw then defines it as to how the DCs would be charged, is I believe what the issue may be here.
But that would also, like, it would apply here, but it would apply differently at the region if we don't consider, for example, the processing of agricultural products as a normal farm practice. Because it's becoming more and more normal, I would say, in my industry, it's becoming more and more normal for parts of our industry to want to process more of our own product. Just like when we talk about tile draining as being a normal farm practice, or plowing or hauling manure, the processing of the products as a normal farm practice. And I'm just wondering, maybe we don't have an answer here. Maybe it's a legal one. Maybe we got to do some work. I just wonder if there is an easy answer.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Mayor Morrison. As Ms. Hall mentioned, it would be the definition within each development charge bylaw. So the region actually does provide agricultural exemptions in their development charge bylaw, and the town does also. The town actually updated its bylaw June of this year, and we've included on-farm diversified uses and cases where the exemption would not apply. Now, I can tell you that the region is in the process of updating their bylaw for mid-next year, and this can be a suggestion that can be passed along to the region in terms of looking at changing their wording related to agriculture.
And would we do that through you as making the recommendation through the treasurers? Is that how that would work? Or would you prefer a council resolution to that effect?
I think either way, a council resolution would be best. And I can take forward your position to staff at the region.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Councillor Foley, Councillor McClure.
Yes, I've had a few complaints from Ward 2 residents. Old School Road between Dixie and Airport, and there's a lot of brush grown beside the road. It's between, the town might cut 2 feet of grass, but you know what, it's really thick between there and the farmer's fence. You can hardly see through it. So I'd like to see that taken out of there. Some work was done on our side of 10 Highway, but the other side of 10 Highway, they need to do some work on it. A few years ago, we stopped spraying weeds, and we should have kept on doing that. It's a disgrace, I think.
Okay. Councillor Paderak.
Further to Councillor DeBoer's point, I think that if we were to sit down amongst ourselves, maybe a small group, to discuss what some of those traditional processing activities have been, the separation of honey, separation of cream from milk, the production of maple syrup, all these occur on farm, and they're all a processing of an agricultural product. And I don't believe the region is aware that they have been letting these things slip through without development charges all along. And because they are identified as normal farm practices, clearly stated by Councillor DeBoer. And the list is actually quite a bit longer, and we have to help them develop that list. So I look forward to working with other councillors and staff and helping the region understand this issue.
Okay. Councillor Mazzapelli?
Yes, Madam Mayor. It's related to parks, so I'm not sure who would be able to speak to it if it's their staff here. But I'm wondering about the status of our tree program. The combination of the ice storm and emerald ash borer. I know that a lot of those trees have been removed. I have personally observed trees that have been damaged from the ice storm that still remain, as well as EAB, that are still standing. And I was wondering, A, what the status is of our program. Is it still ongoing? And I guess as a part of that, replacing those trees, what the plan is with that. And lastly, if there's any status update with our provincial funding with respect to the ice storm.
Okay, Mr. Barnes.
Through you, Mayor Morrison. I'll have, on the first two questions, I'll have Brian Baird send you an email with the status update. I know Brian has, in terms of preparing his budget for 2015, has put in the budget request again for more tree replacements. In terms of the request to the province, they have now sent us the actual final application forms. And so we've been, I think we are a qualified recipient, but at this stage we don't know how much we will qualify for.
Okay. I guess lastly, Madam Mayor, I would just share with Council my observations is that, again, whether it's the ice storm or whether it's EAB, there are many, many trees that will have to be removed. And I think the public has the right to expect that in public spaces, those trees will be replaced. So I hope that the next council sees a robust capital project, because more and more I'm seeing these trees disappearing, and we need to provide them back in that public space.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Thompson.
Real quick, Madam Mayor, I got to tell you that Village Blue is coming together very, very well, and I want to commend compliment council, I mean the staff, on how it's really looking. It's really looking good. And, you know, it's been a long old battle, and I know we've had to keep coming back and fighting for more funding, but doing it right the first time is yeah. It's looking like a reality, finally.
Good. Councillor Whitehead?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the Director of Public Works.
Not Mr.
When I was over in the George Crescent subdivision today, quite a few of the neighbors are concerned that the shoulder, the gravel over there is washing because of the last couple of rains we've had. And in one place on the northern arm, the gravel is washed either at or now underneath the asphalt. So somebody needs to get in there right away and stabilize it. And I don't think adding more gravel to that steep slope, because the road is now half a dozen inches higher than it was before. So I'm just saying, personally looking at it, somebody needs to get over there this week and stabilize the areas.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we're going to move to RB10. Since we have someone in the audience for RB10. Council, you're agreeable to go to RB10? Yeah. Okay. Moved by Councillor McClure, seconded by Councillor Thompson, that report DP 2014-088 regarding proposed draft plan of subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment applications by Digram Developments, Caledon, Inc., part of a lot 21, Concession 1, EHS, Chingakuzi, 12688 Old Kennedy Road, west side of Kennedy Road, south of Old School Road, and north of Dougal Avenue, Southfields Community, within the Mayfield West Secondary Plan, Ward 2, file numbers 21T-14003C and RZ14-04 be received, and that the street tree planting for the subject development be located within the public boulevard, and that a bylaw be enacted to rezone the subject lands from agricultural A1 zone to mixed density residential exception 553 RMD 553 and open space OS zones, and that no further notice or public meeting excuse me be required for the above referenced zoning bylaw pursuant to section 3417 of the Planning Act RSO dot C dot P dot 13 as amended. And in here it says diagram, but it's digram, so I'm going to fix that so that we're not passing something that we shouldn't be. Okay, Councillor Thompson.
Catching that, Madam Mayor, and what I want to say is thanks for staff. The tree planting idea is a good one, and going forward. And I also want to thank the proponent for helping to make Habitat Humanity was a cooperation, and thank you for helping drive that forward.
Okay, all those in favor of the motion? It's carried. Okay, we'll go back to RB1. I have a motion moved by Councillor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Mazzapelli, that report ADM 2014-044 regarding 2015 council meeting schedule be received, and that the 2015 council meeting schedule be adopted, attached as Appendix A to report ADM 2014-044, and that the 2014 council meeting schedule be circulated to the Region Appeal for information purposes. Councillor Foley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just have one question. It indicates when the public consultation budget meeting is in January and where the departmental meetings are in February. I don't see anything that indicates where the actual budget meetings are where the budget is debated and approved. Which dates are those?
Through your worship to Councillor Foley, that is actually will be contained in the regular council meeting on the 24th.
February 24th?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Paderak?
Yes, I support the schedule, but I would ask that I know we're going to be considering some changes in the way we do business in the new, or at least I'm led to believe there will be some suggestions in the way we do business will be brought up with the new council. And I would like included in that discussion, if I can, just as a way of direction to staff, the consideration of Wednesday being the council meeting day. So it's synchronous with both Brampton and Mississauga. And then it frees up a whole nother day in which if there is some need for a regional subcommittee meeting or some meetings with the region with members from Mississauga and Brampton, we have Monday, Tuesday, and Friday afternoon. Friday morning is usually taken up with the conservation authorities. So it's just something that I think if our clerk spoke to the clerk in the region, they would see that this would be probably a good thing.
Okay. The only when they do check beyond just council meetings, because I know that Mississauga and Brampton also have full planning meetings. And they have those in the evening and part of the day. And Tuesday is sometimes that. So I think you need to look at the whole thing and how it fits in.
Through your worship to Councillor Paderak, that would also require procedural bylaw review and change. So at this time, if it is up to, if council wishes to leave it for the Tuesdays, okay.
Okay, Councillor Foley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to add to that discussion. There are weeks sometimes when both town council and regional council meet, and you would end up with both of them back to back Wednesday, Thursday, for what it's worth.
Okay. Thank you. All those in favor of this motion? Carried. Okay, we'll move on to RB3. We have moved by Councillor Mazzapelli, seconded by Councillor DeBoer, that report CS 2014-070 regarding 2014 forecast operating variance be received. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just wanted to point out The report talks about favorable, unfavorable variances. And on RB 3.2, or page 3 of 9 of the report, under fines and penalties, just wanted to make the observation that there's a 31,560 unfavorable variance for false alarms due to work done by Fire Prevention Division, making sure fire alarms are maintained, education provided. And I think that is a good investment. Although it shows up as an unfavorable variance, it's a positive impact in the community. And that's the type of investment that you know, like the MasterCard commercial, you just can't put a value on that. So I think that although it's an unfavorable variance, it's a positive investment. The other thing, and I'm probably missing something, but on RB 3.6 under Public Works, the first bullet talks about a variance of $525,589. But earlier in the report, RB 3.4, I think it is, the first bullet is $691,496. It both talks about winter maintenance. Is one entail more than others? That's why there's a difference?
Through you, Mayor Morrison, there's a portion under that heading under Public Works for the 525, and then some under materials, equipment, and supplies under B3, just below. There's an unfavorable variance there as well, and part of it's fuel, and that fuel is part of the transfer.
Okay, so if you add it all up, it's the 691. Okay. And that was it for myself, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. All those in favor of the motion? It's carried. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to RB5. Moved by Councillor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Beffert, that report CS 2017-074 regarding quarterly update of approved unavoidable budget increases August 12, 2014 be received. No questions? All those in favor? It's carried. I know that you bring unavoidable budget increases forward every quarter. It would be really nice if we had, for the future council, if they had a list of all of them, rather than us having like to go back and, because you don't have them cumulative type of thing, it's each quarter you bring it to us. Could we have a list, please?
Actually, three.
Well, then I guess I didn't look far enough.
Mayor Morrison, on RB 5.1, okay. It is a cumulative listing.
Okay.
And the two highlights are the new items added since the last report.
Okay, and I didn't realize that. I was thinking it was just, okay. Good, thank you very much. All those in favor? Carried. And I already did that, okay. Okay, we're into RB 6. Moved by Councillor Mezzapelli, seconded by Councillor Foley, that report DP 2014-083 regarding recommendation for heritage designation of Henry the Elm, west half, lot 15, concession 5, EHS, Caledon, be received, and that Council direct the Heritage Resource Office to proceed with the notice of intention to designate for Henry the Elm, part west, half, lot 15, concession 5, EHS, Caledon, and that should no obligations be received during the mandatory 30-day public objection period following publication of the notice of intention to designate, Council enact a bylaw for the purpose of designating Henry the Elm on part of the west half of lot 15, concession 5, EHS, Caledon, pursuant to the Ontario Heritage Act, and that the mayor and clerk be authorized to enter into an agreement between the town and the Region Appeal regarding arboreal maintenance of Henry the Elm, the agreement to be incorporated as scheduled to the designation bylaw. Councillor DeBoer.
Just a question relates to, and I'm gathering from the report, the Dakers family are supportive of it because it designates the tree as well as everything under the drip line, right?
That's correct, yes.
What does that actually mean, though, when Henry decides he's been around long enough?
Well, Henry would be taken down on the region side, so it wouldn't affect the field crop at that point in time. When speaking with the Dacre family, they were explaining the low tillage of their tenant farmer, and that was part of the reason they had no concern with the designation in terms of it affecting, or the continued agriculture use of the drip line affecting the reasons for designation.
So it can be farmed through there then?
Correct.
Okay, and then, well, then it does come to diseases, like what happens eventually?
Yes, eventually this is, you know, like got a natural lifespan, and at that point the tree will be removed and the designation would be, bylaw would be repealed and taken off the property.
Okay, but do they take, like, for stumps and of the history, or... I was just trying to think. A Credit View school had a big stump in the front of it, in the front lobby. I don't know whether this, when he decides to finish up, to take a chunk of the stump and put it into Caledon Central School.
Would it like it to be something we could consider at the time, if anybody's remembering it when we get that far?
Okay, thanks.
Do you know about this stump because you had to sit there when you weren't good or something?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, okay. Councillor Paderak.
That's why they say that Councillor DeBoer was often stumped.
Oh, dear.
I just wanted to congratulate Sally and her team at Heritage Caledon for doing this. This is the second vegetative feature that we've designated. The other one would be the Osage Orange Hedge. And we do have another one coming immediately. That would be a very majestic oak tree in Fountain Bridge Park, which is owned by Mr. Loveridge, and I'm sure he's looking forward to taking care of it. So these are, this is important. It's an important part of our heritage, especially when you get these trees that have unusual features. And this one, it would be genetic that it survived. And in the case of the oak tree in Fountain Bridge Park, it's just a matter of it was singled out for saving, I guess, somewhere along the line, and it's just a magnificent example of an oak tree. So we'll have others, and I'm speaking because I want the press to cover this and let people know that they can contact Sally's office, and we have a very enthusiastic person in the by the name of Joanne Kreese, who is leading the charge on these heritage trees. And if anybody knows of a significant tree that is significant for any number of reasons, Joanne is happy to look into it. And in the next designation, we have a very nice ginkgo tree as well. So, thank you.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion? Okay. Henry goes on. That's good. Okay. We'll move on to RB7. Moved by Councillor Beffert, seconded by Councillor McClure, that report DP 2014-086 regarding recommendations for heritage designation of Silver Creek Farm 16849 Kennedy Road be received, and that Council direct the Heritage Resource Office to proceed with the notice of intention to designate for Silver Creek Farm 16849 Kennedy Road pursuant to the Ontario Heritage Act, and that should no objection be received during the mandatory 30-day public objection period following publication of the notice of intention to designate, Council enact a bylaw for the purpose of designating Silver Creek Farm 16849 Kennedy Road pursuant to the Ontario Heritage Act. Councillor McClure.
Yes, I went for a drive on Sunday, and that was an impressive homestead in there. I think for sure it should be heritage. If anything should be heritage, that's impressive in there.
Okay.
Everything, the stable.
Did you go to the art show?
No, I didn't do that. I'm not into art, but everything was good.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor McClure. All those in favor of the motion? It's carried. Okay, we'll move on to RB8, moved by Councillor Foley, seconded by Councillor Mezzapelli, that report DP 2014-087 regarding recommendations for allocation of designated heritage property grant funding for fall 2014 be received, and that Council approve grants for 6 designated heritage properties as outlined in Schedule A, funded from the designated heritage property grant account in the amount of $23,633. Excuse me. No questions. All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, we'll move on to RB RB9. Moved by Councillor Mazzapelli, seconded by Councillor Foley, that report DP 2014-090 regarding recommendation to single source the Bolton HCD plan to ERA Architects Inc. be received, and that a contract be awarded to ERA Architects Inc. as a single, I'm assuming it's source, okay, award in the amount of $78,616, inclusive of non-refundable HST, funded from approved 2014 capital project 14-054, Bolton Heritage Conservation District Plan, and that the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign an agreement with ERA Architects, Inc. for this work. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I support the report, and I just wanted to take a moment just to highlight a couple of things that I think are very, very important. When you look at the basically the terms of reference and scope of the work, a lot of things pop out to me here that are significant in almost equally important what this proposed study is and what it is not. And I just wanted to quickly highlight under project goal and objectives to contribute to the economic regeneration of the area, under key objectives, encourage new development, reinvestment, transparency and clarity in the development approval process, promoting the significance and improvement of pedestrian realm, I think is extremely important, increased awareness of cultural heritage value in the village of Bolton and the Humber River, further along, RB 9.5, significant issues specific to the village of Bolton. So that'll take this study and make it very specific to issues. Enhancing the commercial core connection between the village itself and the river and walking trails. Promoting intensification that is appropriate. So I think this really captures what this study plans to do. There has been some concern in the public about this. I think some of the language here clearly indicates what the intent is, and these are positive things for the village of Bolton. I want to thank you, Sally, for the report.
Okay, thank you. I agree. It is very positive, Councillor Mazzapelli. All those in favor of the motion? Oh, I'm sorry, I see Councillor Foley there now. Councillor Foley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to add to that. Would this be perhaps circulated to the email distribution list of the stakeholders? So that the ones that weren't out to the meeting would have another look at this, at the terms of reference. Could we send it out to them? Because I think Councillor Mazzapelli makes some good points that it clarifies some things.
You, Madam Mayor, the majority of the scope of work is actually identified in the HCD study report as the objectives for the plan phase. Right. So it should already be out there if anybody has actually read that report, which was right. circulated to all those residents who had participated.
Okay, this was just really I would see it as another opportunity to have people yeah. have a look and some things clarified for them. Yeah. I guess my other question, Sally, would be when do you foresee this next phase of engaging the public for the guidelines and so on commencing?
We wouldn't be going back out to the public until after the election, so likely right. in the new year before
in the new
we
year
would
sometime?
Do that.
Thank
yes.
you.
Okay, all those in favor? Pardon? Oh, Mrs. Hall?
Through Madam Mayor, to Councillor Foley, yes, we can circulate this report out to that group as well. You're welcome.
Does staff not have a button? No? You can't get on. Okay, thank you. All those in favor? Oh, a recorded vote. All those in favor, please stand.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote was called, and all those in attendance are in favor. The motion is carried.
Okay. Move on to RB 11, moved by Councillor Foley, seconded by Councillor Mazzapelli, that report DP 2014-093 regarding proposed zoning bylaw amendment application MMM Group Limited on behalf of Bolton Gateway Developments Inc. 12246 to 12378 Albion Vaughan Road, part of Lot 2, Concession 7 Albion, west side of Albion Vaughan Road, north of Mayfield Road, Bolton, Ward 5, be received, and that a bylaw be enacted to rezone the subject lands from rural residential RR to Residential 1, Exception 557, R1-557, Townhouse Residential, Exception 558, RT-558, Townhouse Residential, Exception 559, RT-559, Multiple Residential, Exception 232, RM-232, Open Space OS, Environmental Policy Area 1, EPA 1, Environmental Policy Area 1, Exception 403, EPA 1-403, and Environmental Policy Area 1, Exception 405, EPA 1-405. Any questions? All those in favor? Carried. Okay, we'll move on to RB 12. Moved by Councillor Foley, seconded by Councillor Mazzapelli, that report PREC 2014-020 regarding Tim Hortons free hockey skate sponsorship agreement be received, and that the Director of Parks and Recreation be authorized to execute the agreements regarding all Tim Hortons free holiday skates sponsorship. Councillor Patterack?
Yes, does this involve all of our ice surfaces or just some of them?
Through you, Madam Mayor, three locations, Lloyd Wilson, Mayfield, and Albion Bolton.
And not over here?
Not this location. All of our facilities reside in different geographic regions with Tim Hortons, and it's each individual owner's group who choose how much funding to provide in sponsorship, and unfortunately this is a location where funding is not available here at the Caledon Community Complex.
Thank you for that explanation.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, we'll move on to RB 13, moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Mazzapelli, that report PREC 2014-021 regarding the Caledon Community Development Fund policy be received, and that the Caledon Community Development Fund policy qualifying applications for the balance of 2014 in excess of $25,000 budget be funded from the Caledon Community Development Fund reserve to an upset limit of $5,000. All those in favor? Oh, I now have somebody on here. Can you people be a little quicker, please? Councillor DeBoer.
It's not like the press your button real quick. Does this get us out through the end of the year now with the projected asks?
Through you, Madam Mayor, with the applications that we have on file, and it will cover those applications we have currently on file and any future requests that come forward.
So anything that we predict, so we're well set till the end of the year?
Agreed, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, we'll move on to RB 14. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor McClure, that report PW 2014-061 regarding Town Hall campus plan be received. All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, RB 15, moved by Councillor Foley, seconded by Councillor Mazzapelli, that report PW 2014-065 regarding Old King Road traffic calming Bond Street to Deer Hollow Court be received, and that the recommended traffic calming design of three speed humps and associated traffic signage and marking on Old King Road between Bond Street and Deer Hollow Court be approved. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Two things. Firstly, I wanted to thank staff for a very comprehensive look at this. I know that when we went through this exercise in Alton, it created some angst in the community. I think we did the right thing there, and I think that's winning over public perception as well. But the fact that you went there and looked, you went to Kleinberg, because I know that was captured as one of the concerns, particularly with vehicles that might have a lower suspension, and that the design will, assuming you're going the right speed, not be an issue. So I wanted to thank you for that, and also for upgrading the visibility of the stop signs with the tiger striping and the larger, I think it's a larger stop sign proper, just so that in case people happen to be missing it for whatever reason, it's more prominent, so we get people stopping and following the Highway Traffic Act. The one question I did have, Mr. Leverage, is sometimes when we install new infrastructure temporarily for a period of time, we'll put up the new signage kind of in your face so that people are aware that something different is there. Will that be a part of this?
Through you, Mayor Morrison, I can ask our staff to ensure that that's part of it, and maybe even in the local area put out some sort of notification as to what the differences are.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you. I have a question. The speed humps that we have on Wilton, you have to slow down to 20. The speed limit's 40. Why wouldn't you make speed humps that as long as you're going 40, you go over them fine? If you're going 50, then you have a problem. Instead, everybody slams their brakes on and goes, and then they speed up to the next one, and then they go. You know, like, it's just ridiculous to me. Have a speed hump that you can go over it at 40.
Through you, Mayor Morrison, or to you, Mayor Morrison, I apologize. We're in the process of redoing Wilton right now, and Elwood as well, and I think it's something we need to take a look at. Those, I've been on them myself, and I find them very difficult. So I'll ask the traffic staff to take a look at what our engineering staff, what we're going to be putting back in there.
Okay, and so these that are going in won't be like that? Very good.
To my understanding, no.
Very good. Thank you. All those in favor? It's carried. And we'll go on to RB 16, moved by Councillor Mazzapelli, seconded by Councillor Thompson, that report PW 2014-069 regarding feed-in tariff FIT 3.0 program extension be received, and that Council reconfirm 2013 Council FIT support resolutions by authorizing the Mayor and Clerk to sign the Municipal Support Resolution Form Schedule A on a request basis for each project outlined in Table 1 for the FIT version 3.0 program extension, and that the resolution's sole purpose is to enable the applicant to receive priority points under the FIT program and may not be used for any other form of municipal approval in relation to the application or project. Okay, all those in favor? Carried. Okay. So we are going to move on to minutes. This is the in-camera. Moved by Councillor Beffert, seconded by Councillor Patterack, that confidential report, DP 2014-095, regarding advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communications necessary for that purpose, notice of motion, Thomas Farm subdivision, environmental site assessments, and records of site condition be received. All those in favor? Carried. Okay. So in camera, moved by Councillor Thompson, seconded by Councillor McClure, that confidential report DP 2014-092 regarding litigation and including matters before administrative tribunals affecting the municipality, advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communications necessary for that purpose, 1695759, Ontario Limited, appeal of zoning bylaw number 2010-104, OMB, file number PL100987-12101, Airport Road, Caledon, be received, and that Council endorse a revised form of Town of Caledon zoning bylaw number 2010-104. Attached as Appendix B or as modified as necessary by town staff with the approval of the Director of Development Approval and Planning Policy, DAP, and the solicitor, to be presented at the hearing to be held on November the 4th, 2014, and that Council authorize town staff to continue to act on behalf of the town going forward in this OMB matter as outlined in this report and in accordance with the usual course of an OMB matter. All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, I need a mover and a seconder for the minutes. That the minutes of the following meetings be received as written and distributed and as printed. So it's the Heritage and it's the Public Library. Councillor DeBoer and Councillor Patterack. Okay, I'm just going to put your initials here. Okay, all those in favor? It's carried. Okay. Okay. Proclamations moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor McClure. Whereas lupus is an autoimmune disease that can cause severe damage to the tissue and organs in the body, and in some cases death. Now, therefore, be it resolved that October the 2014 is hereby designated as Lupus Awareness Month, during which lupus organizations around the globe call for increases in public and private sector funding for medical research on lupus, targeted education programs for health professionals, patients, and the public, and worldwide recognition of lupus as a significant public health issue. All those in favor? Carried. Correspondence moved by, second proclamation. Moved by Councillor Foley, seconded by Councillor McClure. Whereas Caledon Public Library connects people, materials, and culture to build and sustain a diverse and vibrant community. Whereas Caledon Public Library engages the people of Caledon with services, spaces, and resources to enrich their lives and the life of our community. And whereas Caledon Public Library creates a welcoming environment for everyone to celebrate the joy of literacy, learning, creating, communicating, and cultural exchange. Therefore, be it resolved that the month of October 2014 be proclaimed Love Your Library Month in the town of Caledon. All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, proclamation. Moved by Councillor Mazzapelli, seconded by Councillor McClure. Whereas the town of Caledon supports food literacy and edible education in Caledon as a way to improve food literacy in children and youth, bring together groups in Caledon, better enable these groups to share resources, ideas, experience. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Council for the Corporation of the town of Caledon proclaims October the 1st, 2014 as Caledon Crunch Day. All those in favor? Carried. This is a petition. That's the only correspondence. Okay. Moved by Councillor McClure, seconded by Councillor Thompson, that the petition received on September the 10th, 2014, reinstallation of no parking signs on High Street, Terracotta, be received. All those in favor? Carried. Are there any members of the public who would like to ask a question? We'll move on to bylaws. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor McClure, that the following bylaws be read a first, second, and third time and finally passed. Did you have a question on the bylaws? Okay.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. I was just wondering, okay. Bylaws 118 and 119 are both relating to the medical marijuana issue. I was just wondering why there's two bylaws. They're almost carbon copy. 119 has more information. This is just more, I guess, for my information.
Are you listening to this? He's asking why there's two bylaws. That's the same. Okay.
Yes. This is Hall. Madam Mayor, to Councillor Mazzapelli. We have to amend two bylaws. We have to amend 87-250, which is the bylaw that still covers the Oak Ridges Moraine Lands until that minister order is issued on that bylaw. And then the remainder of the town is covered under zoning bylaw 2006-50. So that's why you have two different bylaws here before you. They both do the same things.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All those in favor? It's carried. Okay. Would someone like to move adjournment? Councillor Beffert, Councillor Mazzapelli, all those in favor? It's carried. Thank you very much, folks.